Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the phone calls here on Nick Sirianni. By the way, the Nick Sirianni press conference coming up at noon today. Eagles push back practice a little bit here to around 3:30 instead of 2:10. They're going to have practice today on the field at the Link.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Because that's when it's going to be brick.
Oh, you're trying to get prepared for the field conditions?
Listen, let me tell you.
I like that.
The worst part that I remember about playing those 4 o'clock games.
Cold?
Ooh, no, because it sets it. Like, it'll start off in this one temperature.
Well, that darkness will get there soon.
I wish I could use the words that I really want to use to describe how cold it is out there on these airwaves, but I can't.
No?
But, boy, I tell you, it's a different animal when that sun starts to go down.
Well, it's going to be a fun one. Sunday, 4:30, Eagles and the Packers. Let's talk about that game and a whole lot with our next guest here, Kyle. Seth Joyner.
Seth, sponsored by the Bet Parks app. New users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back. BetParks.com for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing today?
What's up, folks? Hey, Hugh, you didn't have no problem telling people how you really felt on my podcast, though.
Hey, Seth, this is a
Hugh
different...
Hugh Douglas After Dark?
Hey, this is different. You know what I mean?
Seth, we're excited to have you on, and obviously a big week here as we get set for the Packers. All right, Seth, first thoughts on the matchup, Seth. It's interesting, as the Packers are not your typical, you know, low seed, a 7 seed. They did win 11 games, but they did struggle a little bit the last couple weeks this season. What do you make of the Packers as we get ready for this game?
Well, they're definitely not the same team, you know, from week one. I think that offensively, Josh Jacobs is a big part of what they do. Matt LaFleur likes to run a balanced, you know, situation. And, you know, to be honest with you, Jordan Love has kind of been, you know, in flux all season long. You know, I think that his ceiling was, in everybody's opinion, was extremely high the way they played at the end of last year and, you know, getting all the way as far as they went in the playoffs last year. But he hadn't been the same player. And I'm not sure whether it's the elbow injury that he sustained in week one that all of a sudden now has cropped up again here in week 18. I don't know what it is. You know, defensively, their defense is, you know, historically been the side of the ball that's held them back. You know, they've always been an offensive-centric team. You go all the way back to Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers now with Jordan Love. Everything's centered and all of their assets are on the offensive side of the ball. But this defense has played a lot better, you know, the last half of the season. You know, they rank in the top 10 in a lot of statistical categories. And they got some players over there. They got some veterans on the back end. They're missing some pieces. But, you know, on paper and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the Eagles are the superior team and should win this game.
Well, I agree with that. And they're at home, and they get the advantage there. Seth, you mentioned how much they've changed since week one. How much do you take from that? Because both teams have changed. It was a long time ago, even what was the season. You know, sometimes rematches, you kind of look back at that first game. Do you take a lot out of it? Do you take things that say, hey, that the Eagles could use that? Or was it so long ago, it doesn't even really come into your thought process?
No, you got to throw that game out the window, especially, you know, the first 4 games of the season. You know, as a player, I always use the first 4 games of the season to be the guidepost for, you know, from that point forward. I could take those 4 games and break a team down and tell you everything you'd want to know about that team from, you know, an analytical standpoint. And, yes, back in my day, we had analytics. It just didn't drive the machine the way that it drives it now. And from a film standpoint, I could tell you by formation, by down and distance, where they were on the field, what they like to do, who a quarterback's favorite receiver was in pressure situations, who he was going to go to, their tendencies in certain run situations. But, you know, in today's game, those first four games are like preseason. They're trying to figure out who they are. So you got to throw that game out the window. And I would venture to say, you know, the coaches are doing a much deeper dive than four games. But for the players, they're going to take the last four games that the Packers have played, and they're going to dissect that to try to get all the information, the tendencies and whatnot that they need, you know, to go to battle against this team on Sunday.
Yeah, not only that, Seth, they're probably looking at the tape from last year when Green Bay beat Dallas to see some different formations. Cause...
Yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, Hugh, that would probably be more beneficial. The only difference is, you know, you don't have Aaron Jones in the backfield. Now.
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
Josh Jacobs, and Josh Jacobs is a different animal.
Yeah, and then you look at some of the formations and stuff that they ran in the playoffs that you don't want it to sneak up on you and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely.
No doubt about it.
Seth Joyner with us here. Seth, as we get ready for this, so practice today will be the first practice of the week, and it'll be a big day to find out where Jalen Hurts is through his concussion protocol. If he's out there, we'll all breathe a sigh of relief, and it sounds like he'll be ready for the game on Sunday. Seth, let's go off the idea he's going to be out there. Would you run him less? Would you think about having less quarterback run because of what just happened and you don't want it to happen again? Or if he's clear, you just play the game?
Well, listen, I'm not very often a major fan of the quarterback run, the called quarterback runs anyway. I just think that it puts your quarterback, you know, at risk too much. But I understand why you do it, because it gives you numbers. Because the free safety is the guy that's responsible for the quarterback. So that means in the box there's nobody responsible for him. So if you win all of your man-to-man blocking battles, the quarterback's going to have somewhere to run up until, you know, 15, 20 yards away from that free safety. So I understand why they do it. I'm just not a big fan of it. Now, the RPO is a big piece, and the read option is a big piece of what they do. You can't control that. You know, if I'm the but if I was the Packers defensive coordinator, I would force Jalen to run the football. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that end would crash down on that running on Saquon every single time, and I'd make Jalen go around the corner with the football. I'd put the ball in his hands and force him to run the football, and really force the Eagles coaching staff to decide whether you want to put him at further harm or how you want to play this thing. That's just strategy. If I'm a defensive coordinator, you know, I had B Doc on my TV show yesterday, Hugh, and I mean, you know, he was fantastic.
Doc, I know you and him talking football. I know Doc got real intense.
Oh man, it was really good stuff. You know, and I asked him the question. I said, "Hey man, put your DC hat on. You put your DC hat on, and you tell me if you had to shut down Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley in this offense, how would you go about
killing the quarterback?"
And his response was gold. It was just great stuff. But that would be, you know, Joe, to answer your question, that's how I would handle it. You know, I would put the onus on the Eagles coaching staff to figure out how much danger are you willing to put your quarterback in, given the fact that, you know, he's been on the shelf for the last 3.5 almost 4 weeks.
Are you concerned with rust, Seth, you know, for Jalen Hurts? Because not only it's one thing to be through the concussion protocol and let's say and hope he's perfectly healthy. Okay, great. But also he just hasn't had practice and he's only thrown, you know, 4 passes in a game dating back to that Steeler game, which he was great in, but that was on December 15th. Would rust be a concern of yours heading into the game? Because it's just a matter of reps. He just hasn't had many reps because of this protocol.
Listen, I'm concerned just because, you know, football players play football, and, you know, we are all programmed for this time of the year. It's like, you know, I've been retired since 1999, but you want to know something? When I get to August, there's this eerie itch that starts on me, and I know what it is. You know, it never leaves you. And then you're in this mode, you're programmed for this time of the year. So anything that interrupts that programming, and he's been interrupted for the last 4 weeks, there's got to be some consequence to that, you know. So there's going to be some rust. The thing that concerns me the most is that you are going from the regular season into the postseason, and the intensity level is going to shoot up another 15 to 20%. Everything's going to speed up, and he's trying to get his footing back under him. I'm a bit concerned about that, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, the Eagles, you know, I'm not going to say they made the decision that they made, but I just find it weird that, you know, he's still in concussion protocol. Here we are, you know, almost 3.5 weeks later. And I think there's a difference between being in protocol and being tested in protocol. And I kind of get the sense that, you know, in my opinion, they made a decision that they weren't going to play the starters, that, you know, so there was no need to rush him out of protocol. So he could be in protocol without being tested and still be in protocol, opposed to being in protocol and being tested and not getting through protocol, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, kind of leave him on the shelf and just let him sit there until they need to kind of hit that button, which is today. Seth, let's end with this. You played in, I believe, and active and on a team for 11 playoff games in your career. What's it like? What's the butterflies, the feeling when you step on the field for a playoff game? Is it different, or do you try to keep it, and do you think the players try to keep it just like a regular game? What was it like for you?
You know, you try to keep it the same. I had Chris Long on the podcast last night. I asked him, you know, hey, if I could put you in that locker room to talk to these young guys, you know, what advice would you give them? Because there's a lot of young players on this football team that's never experienced this before. And one of the things that he said is that, hey, you know, it's just another game. Just let the game come to you instead of you chasing plays. But in a lot of ways, it's not just another game. I agree with that, because you can go into a game, you know, wanting to put your stamp on the game and do something, and when you try to do too much instead of just doing your job, you get in trouble. Then you have the other aspect of it, you know, listen, when they come out of that tunnel, the link is going to be at fever pitch, the energy is going to be off the charts, and for some of these guys, they've never experienced that before, so how do you keep yourself even keeled and don't get overly hyped, you know, and need a damn Snickers but at the end of the first quarter to kind of get some energy going? You know, how do you stay level? That's a lot of it too, because you gotta maintain that intensity. You know, how do you stay even keeled, but when that whistle blows and the first play happens, you on a hair trigger. It's a hard thing to manage, especially for, you know, young players who've never been there before. So that's where, you know, you kind of get some of the veterans that's been there and done it before. It's got to have these conversations with these guys to get them to understand, you know, how to manage themselves through that situation. But yeah, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it knowing that you're in the playoffs, that you're in win or go home mode. There is no next week. It's next year once you lose. The finality of it. The excitement of the prospect of winning and moving on to the divisional round and then to the conference championship round and then to the Super Bowl. All of those things, all of those expectations and emotions have to be managed even in the wild card week.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch every year how some players raise their game and keep their emotions in check. Some obviously do not. Hopefully the Eagles can on Sunday. Seth, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week. And let's talk next week before we get set for the divisional round. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Have a good one. Have a
good
one.
There we go. Seth Joyner there with us. All right, 215-592-9494. Using colorful language on podcasts you don't use on the air?
Yeah, I can't. Because we were in a space where, you know,
safe space, language. Yes.
Yeah, it was. I use a little bit of colorful.
Yeah, this is safe space to an extent.
Well, certain sense, because I know for a fact there's a lot of times, and we have these conversations in the break room, that it's a lot of feelings that I have to leave in the break room.
We're not going to act like he's only, like, he doesn't bring this to the air, though.
No, I do. I mean,
why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
You know what it is, man. I say this.